your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Daisy Dunn, the author of The Missing Thread, A Women's History of the Ancient World. These Romans all know the Greek stories. They know the Greek drama. The Greeks are very serious. The Roman theater is nowhere near as serious. Rome likes farce. Rome likes comedy. Caesar has comic moments, but not recently. Caesar defeats Pompey, and Pompey runs to Egypt, where his wife tries to have a successful reunion with him. However, Pompey's murdered by a man who thinks he's under orders to kill Pompey. Caesar mourns it, mourns Pompey's death. And then, because he's walked into Alexandria, which is the breadbasket of the Mediterranean, he's in a palace and someone brings in a rug. Yes, it's real true. It's not a theater piece. It's a rug. And it's unwrapped before him. And who emerges from the rug, Daisy?
It is a young Cleopatra. And she's Cleopatra the VII. We have to remember there are other Cleopatras who ruled Egypt before her. And she's come before Caesar, and this is a great sort of piece of theatre. She is unwrapped, and she essentially meets with him and is determined to have a conversation with him, because the rule in Egypt is very, very difficult at that moment. In Egypt, it's sort of customary that you marry your brother in that position. But her, Cleopatra, and her younger brother, Ptolemy, are basically at war, and Ptolemy's tried to sort of, he's driven her out, and the will of their father says that they should jointly rule the country. But it's basically in total disarray. So Cleopatra needs to prevail on Caesar and try and get him to help sort out the situation.
Yes. Now there is reason to believe that Caesar at this point is thinking empire, because the civil war is nearly concluded. I believe Cato the Younger is still alive, but in any event, he's in Alexandria. The reason she's in the rug is because she needed to sneak into the palace without her brother knowing it. An army gathers outside the palace, these grounds in Alexandria, and Caesar, with his small retinue of Roman soldiers, but he has a lot of ships, defeats the Egyptians, executes all the leaders. Ptolemy, I believe, either drowns or runs away. So there's Caesar with, she's 19, I remember she's young. How old is she about this time, Daisy?
She is about that age. She's young. She's under 20. Yeah.
Caesar is in his 40s, but romance follows and a child follows. So Caesar, after Caesar leaves, he's beckoned back to Rome. He has to leave. There are scenes of romance on the Nile, on the barges, and he leaves her behind. She eventually will come to Rome to be in Rome when he is all powerful. But the Romans don't like Cleopatra. Why, Daisy?
They are suspicious of her as an outsider. They're suspicious of her as a queen. She is very different from most Roman women. She is very educated. She can speak 9 languages. And she has been having this relationship with Julius Caesar, and people can't quite get their head around what this actually means for the future of Rome. Does it mean that Egypt is going to be a lot more dominant? It's a threatening sort of situation. There's a sort of sense as well that as an individual, she is manipulative. She is difficult. Cicero actually writes in a letter to one of his friends, "I hate the queen." Another poet describes Cleopatra as being the whore queen of Egypt. So there's a lot of distaste surrounding her and her arrival in Rome.
She is a queen, yes, and Caesar's not. Sometimes he's a dictator, sometimes he's first citizen, but she is a queen. Again, we need to describe what we think she looks like. Reminding me of Sappho, she's not automatically pretty, or how was she regarded by her contemporaries?
it's Cleopatra's appearance is one of those things. It's become sort of folklore that she was this really beguiling, beautiful woman. But the earliest sources we have, writings of after her time, but not a long, long time after, describe her as being really not out of the ordinary. And you can look at her portraits, which are contemporary with her on her coins, and she has quite a sort of a hooked nose. She has quite a prominent chin. She doesn't sort of adhere to conventional ideas of beauty. There are other busts which show her a little bit more favorably, but her appeal wasn't really in her sort of physical features so much as in her way of speaking. The one thing that all these sources seem to agree on is the fact that when she spoke, she was incredibly interesting to listen to. She had a way of sort of picking up someone else's manner of speaking and acquiring it herself and speaking to them in a way that they were comfortable with, as well as knowing all these different languages. So it's incredibly interesting, really, that her appeal lies more in her kind of cleverness and her sort of, maybe more her kind of aura, we might say today, rather than her actual physical features.
In your conclusion, you remark that the Romans saw Lucretia, who commits suicide, as virtuous and Cleopatra as vicious. How did they regard Cleopatra as dangerous, or just did they disdain her?
She was potentially dangerous. There was uncertainty over what she actually intended. And this is particularly looking later when she was having an affair with Mark Antony. She was seen to be sort of drawing him away from his Roman-born wife. He was then having to spend his time with her in Egypt. And there was a sense that she was a threat to some degree, even though people couldn't exactly define what that threat was.
It's more than 2,000 years later. Cleopatra stands up, Daisy. Would that have been a surprise to the Romans?
I think so. I think, you know, we have great admiration for her and her power. And she was actually incredibly capable. I mean, the fact that Alexandria improved a lot during her rule shows that she was actually a very, very talented ruler. And I think that our admiration for her, our respect for her, would have surprised a lot of Romans today. You know, women in Roman society were by no means so visible or so sort of spoken about as she was. So I think they'd be quite surprised, yeah.
Here in the United States, I've never heard the word Lucretia outside of reading about who she was in the storytelling. Cleopatra, commonplacely. How is it in Britain growing up? Did you ever hear Lucretia's name?
Only actually when I was looking at paintings. So in the National Gallery in London, there's a painting of Lucretia from Renaissance Italy. And so I knew of her in association with that more than I did with classical literature, which I think is quite interesting. But nowhere near as famous as Cleopatra.
Daisy Dunn is the author of The Missing Thread, A Women's History of the Ancient World. She mentioned Mark Antony and Cleopatra. When we come back, and there's a third party in that world named Fulvia. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.